Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then, looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Mark was an ancient storyteller, traveling from village to village, synagogue to synagogue, family to family, telling and acting out a story, sometimes with other actors. It's a fast-moving drama, using the word "immediately" 42 times. In less than 2 hours, with no intermission, Mark summarizes 3 years of events, sermons, and teachings of Jesus. The storyteller wants us to know that the life of Jesus was dangerous. Jesus confronted every type of demon, illness, and suffering in the known world. And because of his teaching, there was anger, death threats, name-calling. Truth is, Jesus came to change things, religious things. And you know what happens when people try to change things. Usually doesn't go very well. And we heard 2 healing stories today from Mark. Both stories have twists and turns. When Mark's original listeners heard the first words of today's events, they would have gasped out loud. I didn't hear a gasp when I read that sentence. In fact, I imagine many people would have said out loud, "Whoa!" I don't know the actual translation for the ancient language on what that word is. Whoa! The reading began. Jesus set out and went to the region of Tyre, T-Y-R-E, Tyre. And the people would go, "Whoa!" Now, for us, that's a place most of us have never heard of. Maybe we've heard the name or the names of the area it's located in, Phoenicia and Lebanon. We might even know that Tyre was one of the oldest cities in the history of the world. But that still doesn't bring us to a whoa. But it did for the original hearers. We're about an hour into Mark's story. Now, we heard back in chapter 3 that the people of Tyre were among those who came to hear the sermons of Jesus. But to go there, even though it's been an hour, the original audience wouldn't have thought about an intermission when they heard that Jesus went to Tyre. They would have been outraged. Tyre? Jesus went to Tyre? Tyre was about 20 miles northwest of Galilee. The disciples and the Jewish people absolutely hated Tyre. These non-Jewish people, Gentiles, were Canaanites who worshipped the god Baal, a god of awful immorality, even infant sacrifice. Tyre was known for injustice and violence. Crops from nearby Galilee went to the wealthy in Tyre, while the poor in Galilee suffered. Tyre was a hated place. And the listeners of the story, as Mark was telling it, would have known that God condemned the place called Tyre in the writings of the prophets Isaiah and Ezekiel. The original listeners would have hated that Gentiles there in Tyre would have recognized Jesus. They would have hated that they welcomed him, even spoke to him. They believed that Jesus belonged to them. Jesus was Jewish. He belonged to the Israelite people and to them alone. Gentiles, they believed, had no right to his presence, let alone his gifts of healing. The ancients believed that only the Jewish people were the children of God. This is all over the Old Testament. The people are called the children of God. Now, dogs were not as endearing back then as they are today. Calling someone a dog in those days was high insult. And Jesus was referring to that cultural attitude that Gentiles were considered dogs. But this woman did not believe that Jesus would have embraced that prejudice. So she persisted, and she was right about Jesus, who healed her daughter of the demon. I think Jesus is defeating two demons in this story: the child's illness and the demon of prejudice. So after that healing, Jesus left Tyre. Thank goodness he's gone from Tyre. I can hear a sigh of relief as Mark says Jesus left Tyre. And then he goes to Sidon. Whoa! Sidon? Really? One word would have come to the mind of the original hearers when they heard Mark say Sidon, and that word is wickedness. Wicked. And Jesus goes to that wicked place. Whoa! And the second healing story really kicks up the ministry of Jesus. Again, let's look at the culture. For the people of Jesus' day, hearing was the most important sense. The foundation of the Jewish faith can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It begins with the word, "Hear, O Israel." Hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. This is called the Shema, which is a Hebrew word which means hear. Hear. And the people were instructed in Deuteronomy to keep these words in their hearts, to wear them on their hands and on their foreheads, and to place them on the doorposts of their homes. And the Jewish people still do that today. After hearing comes speaking. They were to teach the Shema. They were to teach these words to their children. They were to speak these words at home. They were to say these words out loud in the marketplace. So when Jesus healed a man who was deaf and unable to speak, he was changing things. Gentiles, even those from Tyre and Sidon, are now able to hear and speak God's word. This is what Jesus died for. The resurrected Jesus makes it possible for all people to hear, to understand, and to speak God's good news. Whoa! All people? Really? All people? Yes, all people. Jesus opened his arms on the cross for the salvation of all people. In today's language, in the well-known words of one of our hymns, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. And that brings us to us, modern day believers, modern day disciples. We, the body of Christ, continue the ministry of Jesus. When we say and when we sing, all are welcome, we need to mean it. Now we're taught, and we heard in the second reading today from James chapter 2, that we're not to show partiality. But we need to understand what that means in this reading, that Jesus is referring to salvation. Sometimes partiality is necessary. For example, you have two children, and one of them gets hurt. Well, we immediately give our attention to the hurt one. We're partial to those who are hurting. When we love two people and one is hurting or suffering, we tend to give more attention to the one who's hurting. Even Jesus did that. Jesus was partial to the poor and to those who suffer. But when it comes to sharing the gifts of God, putting the faith into practice, as James said, especially salvation, there is no partiality, none. Jesus opened his arms on the cross for all. And as disciples, as the church, we embrace this truth completely. We need to marinate in this phrase, which is really about God's grace. It's about God's love. It's about God's salvation. All are welcome. All are welcome. My favorite part of today's reading is the beginning of the healing of the man from Sidon. It's the way Jesus prayed. He looked upward toward heaven. He sighed. I love that. He sighed. In fact, the Hebrew word that Jesus spoke was originally pronounced as a sigh. Ephatha is how I said it in the reading. But it was originally pronounced as a sigh. Ephatha. Ephatha. Breathe and sigh. I think a better translation of that sentence, by the way, is Jesus sighed. And Mark tells us that the word means be opened. And be opened obviously refers to the ears and the tongue of the man from Sidon. But it was much more. I believe that the phrase be opened also refers to the disciples, to the church, to us. Open your minds, people of God. Open your minds to the salvation of God. Open your minds to the truth that all are welcome in the eyes of God. Open your minds to the truth that there is no partiality when it comes to God's salvation. God's love and God's healing power is not limited by nationality, skin color, politics, or any of the issues that we're struggling with in society today. God's love and God's healing power are not limited. I believe that Jesus sighed because the time of salvation for all is near. The time of salvation was in the mind of Jesus is now. That's why he sighed. And all are welcome. I love prayer breathing. I believe that prayer breathing is a holy channel of God's healing. Demons are breathed away. Sickness is healed. Eyes are opened. Ears are opened. Tongues are released to speak God's good news. Minds are opened in breathing prayer. Breathing God's breath fills our hearts with God's love. And finally, it's our faith that the last breath we take on earth, and each of us will have that one last breath. Our faith tells us that that last breath becomes our first breath in our eternal life with God. Let us breathe. Pray for the salvation of those considered outsiders in today's world. Pray for the salvation of those we refer to as wicked. Pray for the salvation of those who don't believe the way we believe. Pray for the salvation of those who have prejudice in their hearts, who lack dignity and respect for others. Pray for the healing of those who are in pain, hurting, or suffering in any way. Pray for those who are anxious, depressed, exhausted, grieving. Jesus says, think of Jesus with wide open arms on the cross. Think of the resurrected Jesus with arms open wide, welcoming all people. And here, Jesus breathe as we breathe.